You're listening to Ian Stone's Comedy Breakfast, the podcast edition. I'm here on Love Sport Radio every weekday morning from 6:30. This morning I was joined by the former Palace and Charlton midfielder, Paul Mortimer, this anti-racist manifesto. And it is a good idea to put it all down in print. I mean, I know, I understand completely. Mm-hmm. Your general feeling is we've seen it all before, we've heard it all before. But that's not a reason not to try and do something.
Of course it's not. I mean, I'd back any move that's positive all day long. But it's the content. It's what we actually are trying to achieve. When we've got people within it who are part of the issue themselves, part of the problem themselves. If you look at, you know, we want more black and ethnic minority people within football. If you look at the way it's represented, black people are represented in the media. If you look at the lack of representation in the media, you know, or you look at, you know, the FA, the Premier League, all of those, the people that are putting this manifesto together have benefited from the fact that they're middle-aged white guys. So it's very difficult for them to give up the power and say, I'm going to give it to someone who I have never recognised as, for want of better words, worthy of doing my job.
Right, we're going to talk more about this in the next hour. Now, tonight is the Manchester Derby, a grudge match between two local rivals, one with title implications for Man City, who can return to the top of the Premier League again with victory tonight. Their boss, Pep Guardiola, doesn't think their opponents will be more dangerous off the back of a heavy defeat to Everton on Sunday. Well, let's talk to the ex-Manchester United winger, Willie Morgan. Willie, good morning.
Good morning, Ian.
Morning. Very nice to speak to you. Willie, you know what? As I was watching the game, the Everton game on Everton Man United game on Sunday, I was thinking about you, thinking, you know what? I think he was right. They're all terrible.
What do you mean you think I was right? Of course you're right.
Yeah, but United have been
you think
a bit.
I was right.
United have been a bit in and out this season. There have been performances where I've thought, yeah, maybe they're getting it right. That was one of the worst things I've seen from Man United in years.
You know, as we said many times, even through all this glory, and what he did was a miracle, but they're still the same players, and they're not that good. And it had to come back, you know, eventually it was going to come back to him. He knew that, and he knows he's going to have to change so much of the personnel, and he will, and the guy will. And that just summed it up. I know you kept going on because I say that Pogba's average. And then he had, I think, one good game. And you told me, oh, do you still think the same? Yeah. Extremely average.
Yeah.
And he sums up the rest of the team. You know, it's very, it's hard. And you know, tonight, I don't want City to beat us. That's number one. But then again, if they did, I wouldn't be too unhappy.
Yeah.
Because they're the lesser of two evils. And if we win, it'd be amazing, because obviously City are favourites. And if City win, I think that's also good. It means that, you know, the Liverpool mob won't win it. So either way tonight is a bonus. So for the first time, for a long, long, long time, either way, whichever way it goes, is a bonus.
Well, I've got to say, I mean, I and you'll know yourself, you know, we've played with top players where when the game's going the other way, they have the ability to recognise that and wrestle the power back. I watched Man United play the other day and they looked like 11 strangers that had met in the car park and said, do you fancy a kickabout? Let's go and do it. There's no fight. And you know, there's certain things I expect from a Manchester United side, from Manchester United type players, that these lot, this group do not show me, other than they're really average, very average.
Well, you know, it's not just United. Any player, any professional footballer, whatever club you're at and whatever division you're at, when you go on the pitch, it's pride. You know, it's your own personal pride. Mm. The fact is that they're just not good enough. I mean, that's the fact. They're just not good enough. There's some of the players that they've brought here. I mean, Sanchez, Matic, and of course, my bugbear Pogba. They're just, and they're not the only ones, by the way. They're not on their own.
Well, What about the manager, Willie? What about the manager? I mean, does he take any of the blame?
I think the manager would be good. I think he will come through. What he did when he came with the same bunch of players was nothing short of a miracle.
Yeah.
It was a miracle. It was incredible what he did.
But it was always going to fall apart, is what you're saying.
Of course. Well, I told you that before. You know, it'll only last so long.
You did.
And then he's going to have to change. He's going to have to change, get rid of players and bring new players in. The problem is, who do you bring in? Well, how many players are out there?
Willie, what I would say is this, a couple of things. Stoney alluded to it. He's got no experience of this kind of thing. Where they're going to have to give him, if you consider a centre half now is 75 million, and you need a couple. You need a couple of them. A fullback is 50 million. You need one of them. A central midfielder is going to be.
You need one.
Yeah. Well, I'm being nice. I'm being kind, Willie.
Ian, you're still good. You're so nice.
I'm being kind. A central midfielder.
I'm going to have to hire you as my agent. you're just so nice.
Yeah, I charge 75%, mate. The central midfielders. You need a couple, and that could be anywhere from 80 to 100 million.
We need a couple.
Let's stop all this, Willie. We've got a great goalkeeper, Paul here,
and then you can get rid of the rest.
Oh, but you see, does Solskjaer have the experience? Because I think bringing players in, spending that kind of money, dealing with those type of characters, I think you need a little bit of experience.
Do you? Why?
Because
what do you think the last guy did? He brought in Sanchez, who cannot play. He brought in Matic. The tree in my garden's quicker than him. He's absolutely useless. The players he's brought in were diabolical, and he's got all the experience in the world.
Yeah.
Mm. It's nothing to do with that. The difference with the two of them, Solskjaer could play. He was a player. And he'll know what he's looking for. He'll look for people that can play, not people he has to coach or tell how to play. And it's going to take time. Not going to happen overnight. But I think he'll do it. I think he's the right man. With everyone that's out there, I think he's the right man. The fact he could play himself makes a massive difference for me.
Willie, great to speak to you, as always. Enjoy the game this evening as much as you can.
Well, as I said, it's one game. Whichever way it goes, I'll be happy.
There'll be some solace. There will be some solace to be taken, whichever result you get.
I shall speak to you soon, Ian.
Speak to you soon. Ta-ra, Willie.
Take care of yourself,
my friend.
See ya. Ta-ra, Willie Morgan there. I guess that is a fair point that he made at the end. That in the end, Mourinho had all the experience of buying players. Who'd he buy?
No, you're right. I mean, it's about selecting the players, but that's where the experience is.
Yeah, but I mean, his experience bought him players who weren't very good.
What I mean is the manager I play for, Alan Kirbishley, had the art of putting a team together, of putting players, selecting the right players to fit into a team. The team went on and did it. So it's about having the understanding of what you need, but also fitting them together. And playing a system. All of a sudden, everyone's always focused on systems. You have to have the right system that fits the players. The way Pogba plays does not suit the way Man United play because he slows the game down.
I agree with you, but this thing about experience and managers, England have had got the best team they've had for years with the least experience.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I just think it's a hell of a gamble at that club because you see...
A gamble, mate.
No, the difference between Southgate and this is Southgate's got time. Solskjaer's got a three-year contract. It's irrelevant. If he doesn't produce a team for the start of next season, 3 months in, they will be thinking... I actually think after the Everton game just now, the owners got together and actually had to have a think about, is this the right guy?
No, I'm telling you.
No, the reason I say that is because that kind of performance is one that costs managers their job. That's why.
In normal circumstances, yes, but these are not normal circumstances at Man United.
This is Love Sport.
The amateur James Cahill pulled off one of the biggest shocks in Crucible history. I think Hazel Irving called it one of the seismic shocks in sport, which I thought was a little bit over the top, as he completed an astonishing... He being James Cahill, not Hazel Irving, who is a woman, as he completed an astonishing... Well, I just wanted to make that clear.
Where are you going with that?
It was in my head. I just thought I'd clear things up. Maybe I didn't need to, all right? No one was under any illusions that Hazel Irving was a woman. Anyway, James Cahill, who is a man... Well, not a man. He's 23. He's a boy. As he completed an astonishing 10-8 first-round win over five-time champion Ronnie O'Sullivan. He's not a man, though, is he? Let's be fair.
Hold on. When did you become a man then? He's 23.
When did you become a man?
When did I become a man? I got married at 21 had children.
But even, sorry.
I'm not a boy then.
Well, I'm sorry.
I'm
not
taking care of business.
Are you? You know when I became a man?
Go on.
40. 40.
Why? What constitutes becoming a man? That's what I want to know.
I think I just sort of woke up, really. I just went, oh, God, I've got to take some serious responsibility with my own nonsense. 40 is when it happened.
Really?
Yeah, definitely not through my 30s. I was an idiot. I had my first child at 34 and I didn't have a clue. Not a clue. I mean, I didn't drop it or anything. I didn't lie on it when I was drunk. I didn't do any of that. I mean, I made sure it was okay and fed it and everything, but I didn't really know what I was doing. About 40, I just went, all right, I'm here now. I mean, I think I've arrived.
I can't tell you. I just got on with it.
Well, I'm telling you now, James Cahill is not a man. He's 23. He's a young boy who's beaten Ronnie O'Sullivan.
With 30 grand in his back pocket.
He's a young boy with more money than I've ever had. But that's not the point. He's better at snooker than I've ever been. To reiterate, Hazel Irving is a woman. This is the Comedy Breakfast on Love Sport Radio. Ian Stone here with Paul Mortimer. And Paris has come in. Paris, young boy for sale. Morning, Paris.
Love morning. The musical reference this time in the morning.
He's going cheap. Only 7 guineas.
Harry Secombe, mate.
Harry Secombe. Yeah. God, I love Harry Secombe. What? Harry Secombe. Is he still alive? I don't know. I don't think he is, actually. I don't think he is.
I wouldn't like to.
You've got
guess.
A bit of Harry Secombe about you. Do you know that, Paris? Little bit of Harry Secombe.
Are you saying I look like Mr. Bumble, is what you're saying?
Yeah, you've got a certain. Well, that was rude. But you've got a. You know, you're not. You got a bit of round, you got a slightly round face.
Yes, yeah, as many people have told me, yes.
Bit of Harry Secombe.
Where are you going with
this? I don't know.
People who put their rubbish bins out on the wrong day.
In Cheltenham,
face a fine of up to £50,000.
What a load of nonsense.
Wow.
What a load of nonsense. They won't find them. I hate fly tipping. I hate it with a passion. I genuinely do. And if they catch them, I think they should take all the rubbish and tip it back in their garden. In their living room. That's what they should do. Make it worse. But this seems like a slight overreaction to me.
Yeah, a little bit. 50,000
quid.
All you've done is forgotten your bin day. And you just put the rubbish out on the wrong day for collection, then they are going to give you 50,000 quid
fine. Yeah, but people keep doing it.
Yeah.
People keep doing it, and rubbish gets then strewn about. Is there anything else strewn, aside from rubbish? Nothing else gets strewn, does it? Body parts are sometimes strewn about. But rubbish.
Have you read quite a few crime novels?
I have, yes. Yes, that's what goes through. Rubbish is the only thing that is strewn about, isn't it, really?
Yes.
Now you're thinking about it.
I'm trying to think of other things. There
aren't really. There aren't. you're looking at me like I'm mad.
You two crack me up so much.
Well, anyway, the point is, I love a word. £50,000 seems like an excessive fine for anything, really. To be honest with you.
Yeah, I think so. I would not want to receive a £50,000 fine for putting the bins out on the wrong day.
I mean, let's be fair. If you got a £50,000 fine, you might not be able to afford to pay your mortgage.
Yeah.
You could be out. That's you could be on the street.
It's a joke.
Then you've got the family on the street making a mess as opposed to just the litter that they've created strewn about.
Strewn about, yeah. You'd have people strewn about.
Yeah, and you don't want that. Yeah, I'm not sure that's a good idea. Why are they saying that? They're just trying to stop people doing it.
I reckon so. I reckon the council's just gone, right, let's hit them with this big fine. And they'll never forget again.
Well, they won't, will they? Let's be fair.
They'll never forget the day they imposed the fine on the bins.
No. Well, we wouldn't.
It's a big story in Cheltenham.
Yeah.
Anyway, shopping trolleys. A shopping trolley has been invented.
Smart shopping trolleys.
Yeah, that brakes automatically if it detects a possible collision.
So basically this is to stop children running about with shopping trolleys.
You let children run about with
Yeah, well, that's
trolleys.
The point. It's parents who are not, you know, abrogating responsibility.
Insanity.
Well, it is a little bit, really, isn't it? I mean, I don't mind. When my kids were young, you let them push the shopping trolley.
Yeah, I know.
But if they're getting close to an old lady, you think you're going to knock her down, you go, Jocasta.
That's
a name and a half, that one.
I was imagining middle class. But Jocasta, don't knock down that old lady. We need some more souffle. Go and get that from R4. Can you buy souffle?
It's just Waitrose. It's the exclusive.
Only Waitrose. That's right.
It's been created by Ford. They've created the prototype, which is fitted with sensors similar to the technology used in many of today's cars.
Right.
But it has no plans to make the self-braking trolley experiment available to the public. So,
well, what's the point then?
I'm just imagining loads of people in the Ford offices just kind of pushing
with
around.
Shopping trolleys.
With shopping trolleys. Just.
What? Sorry, that last sentence has really flummoxed me because I thought,
it for you,
what are they doing? Why are they doing this? What is the point of this then? You don't know.
It's a nice novel thing to have, isn't it?
I suppose it is.
Some supermarkets might just get one and just put it on a plinth. And just there it is.
Never collided with anything. Right.
It's never been
some sort of trophy
anyone.
Shopping trolley.
Trophy
All right.
shopping trolley.
Okay, go on.
Are you prepared? There's a potential for a spider invasion. Experts fear the early heat wave has led to a plague of false widow spiders. False widow spiders.
What do they?
Whose bite can cause allergic shock and kill.
Blimey.
Why?
Where are they coming from? Eastern Europe, innit?
Probably.
It's got to be Eastern Europe, innit? Romanian spiders, aren't they? Coming over here, biting people.
Bite your own.
Charging off to put in a bathroom. Those sort of spiders. They've been a bath. I instilled this, mate.
Spiders.
I don't know. What are we on about?
We're on about spiders.
Spiders who might be coming over.
Yeah.
And where does it not say?
It does not say. It just says they're coming.
They're dangerous.
Okay.
Be afraid.
How many are coming?
Well, I don't know.
Depends which paper you read. The Daily Mail says billions.
Billions. Yeah.
Billions
Depends
of spiders.
On how they smuggled themselves in.
How they come in? Yeah, how they smuggled in. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's always
clinging to the underside of trains. Yeah. But I'm asking.
Well, there was this thing that in bananas, apparently those spiders that kind of nested in bananas that came over.
They did, that's right. They did.
I never ate a banana.
You never ate a banana? No, because of that?
No, but them spiders,
if you peel the banana and there's no spider in it, you're safe.
Yeah.
Well, if you say so. I'm taking no chances here.
Do you want me to peel your bananas from now on?
Don't.
Don't do that.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't resist. Sorry.
No, there's no reason for that, but okay, fair enough. Anyway, that might be happening. When? Is it soon?
Now, because the heat wave that hit over Easter, expecting
you don't
all this.
Know, you know.
Really? The heat wave was. So we get a lovely day, and you think, oh, isn't it nice out? But now this.
Lulls
killer
you into
spider.
A false sense of security, Ian. Spiders are coming.
You've been bitten by a spider? Or
no.
You've been to Australia?
No.
Many moons ago.
Yeah, went to Australia. Because there was always that talk, wasn't there? On Australia, there are some spiders lurk in the loo. So you had to, lift up the seat and have a look. Make sure there isn't a spider in there, you know. Because they got a lot of things that can kill you in Australia.
Yeah, it's a place where literally everything that could kill a human being is living.
Yes.
I mean, a friend of mine lived in Australia and came back and told us, basically went, well, you know, if we were bitten by something, you had to make sure you followed it and found out what it was so you get the right anti-venom. So not only have you been bitten by something, you have to chase after it and go, well, what were you? What were you?
While dying.
It had yellow spots as you, like, fainting over in the doctor's surgery. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, they do say it's dangerous in the outback with all the insects. I did see, I mean, I've travelled a bit in Australia, I did see some absolutely enormous creatures. Huge things. You know, the sort of spiders that are so big you're not even scared of them. Mm. You're just looking at them going, what is that? Has that been irradiated? That is absolutely massive. But you did keep out their way. But then, to be honest, fair enough. Because you'd see them and they'd look at you and go, yeah. Go, no, it's all right, mate.
You want some?
Yeah, it's your country. I'm just passing through. It's all right.
Like the pigeons in London, they refuse to move.
Yeah, or the foxes now, who just look at you when you used to, you know, you pull up in lights. They used to run off, didn't they?
Anymore,
now they just
mate.
Look at you and go, yeah, I'm just going through the bins. I'm just doing stuff, you know.
Because anyway. They're left being left out.
That's right. Yeah, it's left out on the wrong day. That's right. Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. I love the way we did that. Yeah. Circularity of that last little bit. Very nice.
Love sports.
Continuing that discussion we were having about this manifesto, this anti-racism manifesto. You know what? Was it Sun Tzu? The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step.
Yeah, okay.
But I mean, I guess your feeling is we've taken this step before,
yeah.
And we haven't really taken the second step. No, that's the thing.
But I look at all those that list, and I tend to feel to my, I tend to think to myself, yeah, of course, getting more BAME people in positions of authority. I mean, that is, you can say society needs to do that as well.
Yes, I agree.
But football can start, can't they? They can start, but they have to basically make middle-aged and older white guys, and it is mainly men, yeah, understand that this is for the good of everyone and for the good of the game in the long term.
Well, I worked at Kick It Out for 4.5 years, and huge resistance I found. You know, it's one of the things that I spoke to a lot of people about. You know, challenge people to about the lack of black and ethnic minority managers and coaches in positions of power, and there was huge resistance. It was a difficult thing because a lot of people I know sort of went, "Well, no, everything's fine." You know, because it's not relatable to them, everything is cool. Now, you know, this manifesto for change. How strong are we going to be with it? I mean, it's in discussion at the moment. That's basically where we are. We're discussing it. And what tends to happen with a lot of this stuff is we discuss it and sit on our hands and discuss it and discuss it and discuss it. I want action. That's what I want. I don't want discussions. We've had discussions. I want some solutions. This is the start of something, just like the media blackout was a start of something. But we have to follow it through with proper sanctions. When they talk about zero tolerance, if you're going to go that way, then you have to, because what's happened is a lot of players have no faith in any process or organization or authority at all. A lot of the black players have no faith. They, you know, it's great, they're only doing it because Raheem Sterling and Danny Rose have spoken out. Other than that, the players have no faith in anything being done because they've sat through this kind of stuff before. And they're loath to actually put their name to things because they don't really see it really doing what it's supposed to.
But you've never, you know, all the time you've been involved in this stuff, you've never been involved at a time when one major black player has said, I don't want to play anymore.
And
Footballer of the Year this year has said, this is not acceptable and I want this to change. So that is an incredibly positive thing. You know, Raheem Sterling is going to be around for quite some time. He's still only 24 years old. He could possibly get better. He could do all sorts of things, right? And you know, he's fronting this up.
This will encourage
every other black player, hopefully, to go, well, if Raheem's involved, then I'm going
to
get involved.
I would like to think so. Man United got beat by Barcelona, and that evening, Ashley Young gets racially abused on social media, okay? What needs to be done about that? That's around social media. That's a societal thing. That's got nothing to do with football whatsoever because that happens in society.
Yeah, but one of the things in the manifesto is that social media
take more. Listen, I've read a newspaper where, you know, teenage children are taking their own lives because of the abuse they're getting on social media.
Yeah,
that is far worse. And nothing has been done about it.
Well, I think...
So I do not see... Not enough has been done to highlight, to pinpoint the perpetrators. It hasn't. It hasn't. No one can tell me it has.
No, well, you're probably right. I know that they have been forced almost to take those responsibilities more seriously.
Yeah, but what does that look like? Because I'm virtually sure if one of those owners of social media, if this was their kid, okay, they'd be dealing with it. But because it's not relatable, that's the thing that links all of this.
Yeah, and that's the
it's
fact.
It's not relatable.
Let's say the head of Facebook and the head of Twitter and the head were black, right? And they're looking on social media and there are millions of racist posts. They'd be going, you can't have this. But because they're white and they haven't
had this
sort of stuff, it's not relatable.
It's not relatable.
So almost the first thing then to solve these issues is to get black and Asian and minority ethnic people in positions of authority so that they can relate to this stuff and so they can actually be genuinely angry and go, we're not having it.
Well, what they're able to do is they're able to, just from being there, help to educate those people in charge by saying, look, I can tell you the impact. Because there's a lot of people, where they live, who they socialise with, who they interact with, none of them, not one of them, gets anywhere near this. The way they live their lives, they're not related to this at all. So when it's not relatable, your understanding of it is hugely limited. It really is. And so, you know, and also some people think, well, I have no right to talk. Actually, I would prefer people talk about it. I want people to discuss it. The more people discuss it, the more we can help to educate each other, the more we can understand the impact that it has and start to actually put in place things that are long-lasting but that will work, and the players and all victims will have faith in any process or procedure that's put in place to combat all types of racist behaviour.
And a consistent and suitable punishments for discriminatory behaviour with an education action plan part of the sanction. So in other words, when somebody does this sort of stuff, they have to maybe sit down with a black person they've abused and made to understand.
Well,
they do it sometimes with victims of sexual abuse, yeah, don't they? And they have to sit down and be confronted,
yeah,
with the person and go, oh, hang on a minute, you're just a person just like
you
me.
You need to understand the impact. You need to, because initially, like I say, it's not on their radar, it's not relatable to them, but they need to understand the impact that their behaviour has. On, and again, it's not just, see, the thing about Raheem Sterling getting all the abuse, social media, his family are probably linked to his social media. So everyone in his family reads that, sees that. His family will be sitting in the stand when he's being racially abused. It impacts them as well.
You said to me when you played at, where was it? Was it Millwall?
Yeah.
When you played, you wouldn't take your family.
No, my
along.
Lot didn't go. My lot didn't go to Millwall. Wouldn't there's certain places that I wouldn't, because I realise, you know, my kids listening to their dad getting racially abused is ridiculous. You know what? Bless him. My eldest grandson, Joseph, I was on the TV talking about this yesterday, and he got upset because he heard that I'd been, you know, suffering racist abuse when I was a kid.
Yeah.
It upset him so
How old
much.
Is he?
He's 12.
Yeah.
It upset him so much because he hadn't really heard
put
me
it
talk
together.
About it. No, he hadn't. And then he did. That's the impact it has.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know?
Okay. Yeah, well, do you know what? Let's just keep talking about it, right?
Yeah.
Let's just keep talking about it. We're here. We can sit and we can have a little platform and chat about it. Why not?
This is Love Sport.
Oh, no. We never really say time's wrong. 15 minutes past 9 o'clock. Do they not say them differently in other countries? Paris is coming as well. You know, quarter after 7 instead of quarter past 7. They don't do quarter past 7,
do they? Some people do that, don't they?
Anyway, Paris, what you got?
Well, I've got some stories for you, Ian.
Have you?
I haven't got none about time in other countries.
Right.
Foreign time.
Oh, my God.
Now, of course, eco-protests, Extinction Rebellion are still out and about.
They are.
They were joined by Joey Barton yesterday. Joey Barton was among the crowds in Parliament Square.
Did he attack anyone?
No, I was going to say, was he there to clear the crowd?
Yeah,
nice picture. White shirt, got his glasses on, so perhaps not ready for a scrap. And kind of showing the peace sign.
Joey Barton showing the peace sign.
Yeah,
now, there's
looks like
irony.
A slightly chubby Harry Potter, doesn't he?
Yes, that's a fair assessment.
Fat Harry Potter. You're just a fat Harry Potter. That's what I should have sung at him just to see. I just thought I'd say, Joey Barton showing the peace sign is just one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. That's absolutely stunning in every way. But anyway, he was there helping out with the eco protest. Good for him.
Yeah.
You know what? Good for him, Joey. Was he on bail? What is he?
Well, he's not. He's not been charged with anything. There is
Let me out! Let me out! I want to go to the eco protest. Go on, Joey. Come back in. Wear a tag.
Yeah. So the eco protest continues.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So it's still there. It's still got. Has it been a bit less disruptive?
Well,
this week?
Arrested 1,000 people, haven't they?
Lots of people been arrested.
Lot of people, but they're still at Marble Arch, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I was chatting with my friend about it, and the first thing my friend said was, waste of police time, isn't it? And I went,
Waste of police time in what sense?
Well, having to arrest all these people and deal with the protests.
Well, people got to get on with their lives, and they're stopping people doing that.
They are, for a very good cause.
Oh, no,
I respect the
cause.
In the end, Greta Thunberg, the Norwegian, is it? Schoolgirl? Norwegian?
Swedish,
is it?
Scandinavian of some sort.
Yeah, Scandies. Yeah, she comes from a country with decent healthcare and high taxes, right? We know that. And tidy. Nobody ever drops litter in any of those countries.
No?
No. There's also no ugly people. Have you noticed that?
Oh, right.
No, they're no ugly people. They get like, it's like the child catcher in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Yeah. Somebody comes out with a cage going, bring out your ugly folk. And they take them and they send them to Scotland. We always do that joke. Doesn't have to be Scotland. Anyway, I saying? Yeah, Greta Thunberg she's been speaking to parliamentarians. So Michael Gove has said, we'll listen. Well, proof of the pudding and all that. We'll see. we will see. David Miliband was there, Caroline Lucas, various others. So we'll see whether people are listening. But Joey Barton, if anyone's going to make him listen, it's Joey Barton.
Joey Barton.
Yeah,
is there
that
making,
would certainly help.
Making his mark on the eco-protests. Yeah. A slightly different story for you now. A burglar broke into a chocolate shop, but only stole two bottles of Prosecco.
In a chocolate shop?
In a chocolate shop. That's Greater Newcastle.
This is an odd story.
It's an odd story. I thought, you know.
I'm going to ask a silly question. Did he know what he was breaking into?
Well, I haven't spoken with him.
I'm just because I mean,
or her. It doesn't specify.
You'd partake,
which gender.
Wouldn't you? You would nick a few. Well, if you're going to do that stuff,
can you get us some chocolate, Lake? But the chocolate shop is shut, Lake.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do the accent anymore. I'm getting a bit of a headache. Anyway, he broke into a chocolate shop, one of those flash chocolate shops, right? One of those with a little, you get like a pound for a piece of chocolate or something like that. The praline things, they're nice, aren't they?
They are lovely.
Oh,
yeah.
They're nice. But anyway, broke into one and got distracted by booze.
Just
and
two
stole
bottles
that.
Of Prosecco. Yeah.
Yeah. Great, came back home. Did you get the chocolate? I didn't. I didn't. That's not right anyway. Anyway, didn't get the chocolate, right?
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Right, it's a bit weird, this story, isn't it?
A bit weird. So that's a story of two things being lost, being stolen.
It's like breaking into an off-licence and just nicking chocolate from an off-licence. Yeah. It's a bit strange.
Yeah, taking a Snickers bar.
Snickers bar, you know, that's right. It's a bit odd, because they do sell a little bit of chocolate, don't they, in off-licences? Mm. Just a little more.
Don't go into them often.
Do you not? Oh, you're not drinking, are you? No, I've been buying wine lately. It's quite nice.
All right.
Just saying.
Okay.
It's the only thing that gets me through the show. Cheers, everyone. Ding. Should we open another bottle? It's 9:20.
No, not to a 9:30.
Not past nine.
Surely not.
Not before 9:30. Anyway.
Bob Marley tapes have been found in a basement in the London hotel where he stayed in the 1970s.
Really?
Believed to they're going to set, set to fetch about £50,000.
New? Is it new music or is it just demos of old stuff?
It doesn't say. I'm presuming it's old stuff because I think if it was new stuff, it would be a slightly bigger story.
Mm.
But
still.
And worth more.
Bob Marley tapes is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Well, we'll hear them at some point, won't we?
At some point, perhaps.
Are you a fan of Bob Marley?
Love Bob Marley.
You love Bob Marley.
Yeah.
I mean, I was into it, but I was never that. I prefer dub to reggae.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Actually, I was listening to a lot of dub back in the day.
Not my cup of tea.
Back in the day, I know.
Day.
Sorry, I said that.
Right.
I'm saying that because we're allowed to say that.
Yeah.
Me and Walter are allowed to say that. Because
I'm not.
Well, you're not,
no.
Because when you go back in the day, you could be like last Tuesday. Because you
can't
be talking about anything before that. What are you talking about back in the day? You're at school. Stop it. We can do that, though, back in the day. We can. Got another one?
I do have another one. There's a man, of course, the London Marathon this Sunday. Yep.
What's going to happen with the climate, the Extinction Rebellion people?
Oh, they're
going to run along with it.
They're trampled over, aren't they?
Well, I was going to say, how does it work? It's 40,000 people coming towards
and
you.
And they're not moving.
You know, move that tree out the way. We're coming through.
Oh, they've got an issue coming up, haven't they?
Isn't there an issue? Okay. Mm. All right, we'll see what happens there. But anyway, it's marathon this Sunday.
Marathon this Sunday. And a man who has run in all 38 London marathons hopes to finish in one piece on Sunday after breaking his arm falling during last year's race.
Oh, my God. How old is he, this guy?
60 years old. Chris Finnell fell around the 3.5 miles onto the 26.2-mile course, but completed the run with his right arm in a sling.
Oh,
wow.
Well played.
Pain.
And so he hopes to finish the course this time
without breaking
anything. Yeah, but he's not injured at the moment, is he?
No, he says he's recovered. But
I was going to say, it'd be quite a slow recovering if it took him a year.
Yeah, he said last year, I put it in a sling at about 4 miles. It wasn't too painful. They gave me a couple of paracetamol.
Marathon runners
fair
are nuts, aren't they? Fair play. They're all doing it for charity. Why not?
Yeah, he says, if you've done 37, you're not going to walk away from 38.
Yeah, but at some point, you're going to have to stop, aren't you? It's difficult, isn't it? It's like people who go to every game home and away for a team for 25 years, and then they're missing funerals and weddings. And
but you're locked in. You can't
you're
not
locked
go.
In.
Yeah.
And he's locked into the marathon, isn't he?
Very much so, yeah.
Okay.
All Chris
right.
Fennell, watch out for him. Don't knock him over.
Don't
please.
Watch out for him. He'll be about limping through the race. No doubt having tripped at some point.
I've got a story for you which is page 3 of the Times.
All right. All right.
You looked at me there when I said page 3 and then I bamboozled you by saying the Times.
I wouldn't say bamboozled. I was just mildly surprised. But anyway, what have you got?
I've got this, Ed Sheeran. Now, a multi-millionaire pop star. He rejected going to live across in Hollywood. Stayed in